Hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I want to continue speaking today about grace. I want to continue that. And I want to pay in particular attention to what I call the invasion of the list man. Did you get that? The invasion of the list man. List man! What in the world is it? Or are list men? List men. Well, list men is another term for legalizers. And it's so called because they come armed with lists of things for us to do and not to do so that we may gain acceptance from the Father in heaven. Their gospel, which by the way is no gospel at all, teaches that Christ is okay, it's good, but we need something else. They always add to the finished work, teaching that for salvation we need more than Jesus, more than Christ alone. And the accused true gospel believers of being antinomian. Well, what's that mean? Well, antinomian is a term by which they charge that our preaching and believing is against the law. But regardless of their charges, grace believers strenuously oppose any law being put in the place of the gospel. It's only the doing, dying, and rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life, and our salvation is found entirely and utterly in His obedience on our behalf. Hey, we take encouragement from wonderful preachers like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a great expository preacher. My goodness, he spent 14 years teaching on the book of Romans. Very thorough. He said it like this. He said, the true preaching of the gospel, listen, the true preaching of the gospel of salvation by grace alone always leads to the possibility of this charge, of the charge of antinomianism, being brought against it. Now, the list men come in all shapes and sizes. And when I grew up in Northern Ireland, in a wee place called Mahara, wee small place, but we had lots of list men. And they decreed that you could only wear dark. Gosh, if when I say dark, it had to be a dark suit. You couldn't wear a light grey suit. You couldn't wear anything colourful. Oh, no, no. And they ruled the list men. Oh, gosh. They ruled that you couldn't go to the cinema, to the movies. Their favorite line, I remember this, was, what would Jesus say if he came back and found you standing in the line to purchase a ticket for the film, for the movies? That was the kind of thing that was happening. we had lots of lists we had to adhere to. At least if these fellows got their way, there would have been. And that was kind of the kind of thing that was happening to the Galatians. The list men of their generation taught that the gospel wasn't enough. They insisted that circumcision needed to be added. And as a result, the Galatians had left the gospel. Because they were following hard after these wretched list men. They were in an anti-gospel spiral. And Paul comes along, and moved by the Holy Spirit, felt so strongly about this that he wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 1:6-7, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow, strong. Paul was talking about two separate gospels, not two different interpretations of the same gospel. Did you know there are two gospels? One is false and the other is true. In one, man stands before God on the basis of human merit. On the other, he stands before God on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. In one, man stands before God in the righteousness of what he has accomplished. In the other, Man stands before God, recognizing that there is nothing he can do to satisfy God's just demands. He knows he can't do anything to satisfy God, but that Jesus Christ has met all the needed requirements on his behalf. One teaches do, and the other teaches done. If you're a list man, could be a man or a woman, by the way, but a list man, you should consider the words of Jesus, these words. It is finished, John 19:30. By this, Christ meant all of the types in the Old Testament were finished. All the symbols were finished. The emblems were finished. The institutions of the Old Testament were finished. The priesthood was finished. The temple was finished. The altar was finished. The sacrifice of all those sacrifices were finished. No rules and regulations are now needed for salvation. Christ alone is sufficient. Furthermore, Christ's finished work was confirmed. Listen. It was confirmed by the torn veil in the temple. Matthew 27:51. Well, what do you mean, the torn veil? Yeah, the torn veil cries out, it is finished. The veil in the temple was 60 foot long. It was an embroidered curtain, and it was torn from the top to the bottom. God wasn't going to be in that Holy of Holies anymore. Oh my goodness, what next to do to demonstrate the old economy was gone? So away with your lists. Who do you think you are to presume to add to the finished work? Go on, now you may have a big following, but who do you think you are to add to the finished work of the young Prince of Glory? A curse upon you if you do, Galatians 1:8. It is finished, and that's grace. And we are living in grace. If you're a believer, that is, if you've trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, you're resting on him. List men, they're a terrible pain. They're always trying to add to the sufficiency of the gospel, but we dare not add or try to add to the sufficiency of the gospel. When as believers we forget the gospel, we usually resort to futile and useless attempts to supplement the grace of God. Yeah. We almost unconsciously do little extra things to try to secure the Lord's grace. Have you noticed that? These wee extra things, we think if we do them, God will take them into account. But this kind of behavior places us in direct opposition to the cross of Christ. It's just another way of snubbing the Lord. We, in actuality, by our efforts to show how worthy we are saying that the grace found in Christ's doing and dying is insufficient. In the Bible, God has declared himself to be gracious. Check it out, Nehemiah 9:31. And he's embodied this grace in the person of the lovely Son of God, the person and his work, Titus 2:11, check it out. He's told us that grace, gospel grace, is for the on people. Did you ever hear that? It's for the on people, the ungodly, the unholy, the unfit. How do I know that? Romans 5:6, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:10. The more then that we know, A, the grace of Jesus Christ, and B, our inability to produce any righteousness which will recommend us to God, then the more we will thrive on the gospel and cease trying to impress God and impress others. Now, here's some good news. You want some good news? We are already complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. Yeah, that's good news. Oh, I know we may at times disappoint or even devastate ourselves with personal failures. Hey, hardness of heart, oh, what a beast. But the greatness of our sin, although it may humble us, it cannot remove us from the completeness that we have in the Lord Jesus. That's right. Completeness in the Lord Jesus. Yeah. In fact, you know, failure can actually help us by breaking us and making us weary and dissatisfied with anything within us. That's the supposed ground of our acceptance before the Lord. God is still the God of Romans 8:28. And so, may we never forget that our acceptance with God cannot come from our own efforts or from thinking inflated notions about ourselves. Oh, we're much too flawed. So let's face it, even our best works are rifled with impure motives. Looking to our accomplishments, therefore, can never bring peace with God. True peace of conscience comes from the gracious person and work of Christ. And as we continually apprehend him as our substitute and representative, we are set free from the endless process of trying to secure God's favor by our puny, little, useless efforts. In Christ alone, we encounter God and discover that he has done something about our sins and our predicament. In the gospel, we see that God is for us. This is astonishing. He's for us. If God didn't care about our condition, we would have good reason to panic and despair. It would be a shattering and devastating truth to discover that God was against us. It would be a frightful thing to encounter God as an enemy and not a friend. Oh, help, help, Lord. But because of grace, we no longer have to live in dread of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Nor do we have to think that at any time he's going to reach out of heaven and strike us down. As believers, we no longer have to try to impress him with our furious religious activity. The gospel delivers us from such redundant and legalistic thinking. Hey, we're saved by grace. And that is the gospel truth. I hope you are enjoying being saved. Why don't you enjoy being saved today? Look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to know this gospel. I need to rest on Christ and Christ alone. I need to rest in his accomplishments. Ah, yeah, we all need to learn that continually, because we're always, all of us, trying to go back and be something different. But anyway, if you enjoyed a few wee insights from today's message, you can buy any of my books, get any of my books on Amazon. They're either under D.G. Miles McKee or under Miles McKee. And you'll find a lot of material about the kind of thing I was saying today on living in grace, the gospel truth about living in grace. It's available. So if I can answer any questions about this message, please contact me. Email me, Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Miles, at milesmckee.com. Miles, at milesmckee.com. If you would like to get a weekly gospel blast, I put out the gospel truth every Wednesday, and the Wednesday word. Please email me. If you want a copy, it's free. Email me, and Miles at milesmckee.com. Listen, I'm gone. May the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name. Hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I want to continue speaking today about grace. I want to continue that. And I want to pay in particular attention to what I call the invasion of the list man. Did you get that? The invasion of the List Man. List Man, what in the world is he? Or are List Man? List Man. Well, List Man is another term for legalizers. And it's so called because they come armed with lists of things for us to do and not to do so that we may gain acceptance from the Father in heaven. Their gospel, which by the way is no gospel at all, teaches that Christ is okay, it's good, but we need something else. They always add to the finished work, teaching that for salvation we need more than Jesus, more than Christ alone. And the accused true gospel believers of being antinomian. Well, what's that mean? Well, antinomian is a term by which they charge that our preaching and believing is against the law. But regardless of their charges, grace believers strenuously oppose any law being put in the place of the gospel. It's only the doing, dying, and rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. And our salvation is found entirely and utterly in His obedience on our behalf. Hey, we take encouragement from wonderful preachers like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a great expository preacher. My goodness, he spent 14 years teaching on the book of Romans. Very thorough. He said it like this. He said, the true preaching of the gospel, listen, the true preaching of the gospel of salvation by grace alone always leads to the possibility of this charge, of the charge of antinomianism, being brought against it. Now, the List Men come in all shapes and sizes. And when I grew up in Northern Ireland, in a wee place called Mahara, wee small place, but we had lots of List Men. And they decreed that you could only wear dark. Gosh, when I say dark, it had to be a dark suit. You couldn't wear a light grey suit. You couldn't wear anything colourful. Oh, no, no. And they ruled the List Men. Oh, gosh. They ruled that you couldn't go to the cinema, to the movies. Their favourite line, I remember this, was, what would Jesus say if he came back and found you standing in the line to purchase a ticket for the film, for the movies? That was the kind of thing that was happening. We had lots of lists we had to adhere to. And at least if these fellows got their way, there would have been. And that was kind of the kind of thing that was happening to the Galatians. The List Men of their generation taught that the gospel wasn't enough. They insisted that circumcision needed to be added. And as a result, the Galatians had left the gospel. Because they were following hard after these wretched List Men. They were in an anti-gospel spiral. Paul comes along and, moved by the Holy Spirit, felt so strongly about this that he wrote to the Galatians. Galatians 1, 6-7, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Wow, strong. Paul was talking about two separate gospels, not two different interpretations of the same gospel. Did you know there are two gospels? One is false and the other is true. In one, man stands before God on the basis of human merit. On the other, he stands before God on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. In one, man stands before God in the righteousness of what he has accomplished. In the other, man stands before God recognizing that there is nothing he can do to satisfy God's just demands. He knows he can't do anything to satisfy God, but that Jesus Christ has met all the needed requirements on his behalf. One teaches do, and the other teaches done. If you're a list man, could be a man or a woman, by the way, but a list man, you should consider the words of Jesus, these words. It is finished, John 19:30. By this, Christ meant all of the types in the Old Testament were finished. All the symbols were finished. The emblems were finished. The institutions of the Old Testament were finished. The priesthood was finished. The temple was finished. The altar was finished. The sacrifice of all those sacrifices were finished. No rules and regulations are now needed for salvation. Christ alone is sufficient. Furthermore, Christ's finished work was confirmed. Listen. It was confirmed by the torn veil in the temple. Matthew 27:51. Well, what do you mean, the torn veil? Yeah, the torn veil cries out, it is finished. The veil in the temple was 60 foot long. It was an embroidered curtain, and it was torn from the top to the bottom. God wasn't going to be in that Holy of Holies anymore. Oh my goodness, what an act to do, to demonstrate the old economy was gone. So away with your lists. Who do you think you are to presume to add to the finished work? Go on, now you may have a big following, but who do you think you are to add to the finished work of the young Prince of Glory? A curse upon you if you do. Galatians 1:8. It is finished, and that's grace, and we are living in grace. If you're a believer, that is, if you've trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, you're resting on him. List men, they're a terrible pain. They're always trying to add to the sufficiency of the gospel, but we dare not add or try to add to the sufficiency of the gospel. When as believers we forget the gospel, we usually resort to futile and useless attempts to supplement the grace of God. Yeah. We almost unconsciously do little extra things to try to secure the Lord's grace. Have you noticed that? These wee extra things, we think if we do them, God will take them into account. But this kind of behavior places us in direct opposition to the cross of Christ. It's just another way of snubbing the Lord. We, in actuality, by our efforts to show how worthy we are saying that the grace found in Christ's doing and dying is insufficient. In the Bible, God has declared himself to be gracious. Check it out, Nehemiah 9:31. And he's embodied this grace in the person of the lovely Son of God, the person and his work, Titus 2:11, check it out. He's told us that grace, gospel grace, is for the on people. Did you ever hear that? It's for the on people, the ungodly, the unholy, the unfit. How do I know that? Romans 5:6, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:10. The more then that we know, A, the grace of Jesus Christ, and B, our inability to produce any righteousness which will recommend us to God, then the more we will thrive on the gospel and cease trying to impress God and impress others. Now, here's some good news. You want some good news? We are already complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. Yeah, that's good news. Oh, I know we may at times disappoint or even devastate ourselves with personal failures. Hey, hardness of heart, whoa, what a beast. But the greatness of our sin, although it may humble us, it cannot remove us from the completeness that we have in the Lord Jesus. That's right. Completeness in the Lord Jesus. Yeah. In fact, you know, failure can actually help us by breaking us and making us weary and dissatisfied with anything within us. That's the supposed ground of our acceptance before the Lord. God is still the God of Romans 8:28. And so may we never forget that our acceptance with God cannot come from our own efforts or from thinking inflated notions about ourselves. Oh, we're much too flawed. So let's face it, even our best works are rifled with impure motives. Looking to our accomplishments, therefore, can never bring peace with God. True peace of conscience comes from the gracious person and work of Christ. And as we continually apprehend him as our substitute and representative, we are set free from the endless process of trying to secure God's favor by our puny little useless efforts. In Christ alone, we encounter God and discover that he has done something about our sins and our predicament. In the gospel, we see that God is for us. This is astonishing. He's for us. If God didn't care about our condition, we would have good reason to panic and despair. It would be a shattering and devastating truth to discover that God was against us. It would be a frightful thing to encounter God as an enemy and not a friend. Oh, help, help, Lord. But because of grace, we no longer have to live in dread of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Nor do we have to think that at any time he's going to reach out of heaven and strike us down. As believers, we no longer have to try to impress him with our furious religious activity. The gospel delivers us from such redundant and legalistic thinking. Hey, we're saved by grace. And that is the gospel truth. I hope you are enjoying being saved. Why don't you enjoy being saved today? Look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to know this gospel. I need to rest on Christ and Christ alone. I need to rest in his accomplishments. We all need to learn that continually, because we're always, all of us, trying to go back and be something different. But anyway, if you enjoyed a few wee insights from today's message, you can buy any of my books, get any of my books on Amazon. They're either under D.G. Miles McKee or under Miles McKee. And you'll find a lot of material about the kind of thing I was saying today on living in grace, the gospel truth about living in grace. It's available. So if I can answer any questions about this message, please contact me. Email me, miles@milesmckee.com. miles@milesmckee.com. If you would like to get a weekly gospel blast, I put out the gospel truth every Wednesday and the Wednesday word. Please email me. If you want a copy, it's free. Email me. And miles@milesmckee.com. Listen, I'm gone. May the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name.